Good evening, everyone. We've been away for a couple of weeks. It's Wednesday night. It's time for the hidden work. I've been gone, and just a quick update. As some of you may know, I had surgery a couple of weeks ago, actually 2 weeks ago today, to remove the gallbladder. And it was very successful, and oddly enough, the recovery period seems rapid. I mean, it's just
modern surgery.
Modern surgery, Ivan is telling us. And so I'm back, and a remarkable number of things occurred during the unfolding of that, the event. And it's really taught me a lot about not only the energy that we have, but how we interact together. So, and it was like almost as if the event was something tailored to help us understand Chapter 9 a little bit better. So, let's see where we go with this Chapter 9. It's going to be a long chapter. And Ivan, the more I look at this chapter, the more... I know I've said this a number of times, but the more I consider this a critical chapter, and I believe it's going to take us 3 weeks to get through it. There's enough material here, and it's important enough to us in the work we're doing to spend the time on it, to do the stretch for this. So, because what I'm doing, and I'm interested here, and I've been so much supported by so many of us together, working together as a group. I've been so supported that I feel that my emphasis on reading all the books that we've been reading, you know, we've concentrated on practical work on self, on the hidden, on HBM, Life in the Labyrinth, Joy of Sacrifice, and now the hidden work. And it's... My emphasis is interpreting this material in such a way that it becomes a pragmatic tool. But I'm only able to do that in a limited way because I'm one individual. We are here working together as a group. I recall when we were doing one of the previous chapters, and Ivan, you were here for that chapter, where I asked people, what do you do to prepare for class? Do you recall this?
Yes.
And several individuals indicated that they actually go through a particular ritual, and that ritual has a lot to do with what I call getting rid of the road dust, the materials that we're bringing in from the world, and taking the time, putting in the effort. That's what it is. It's putting in the effort to get yourself to this class. Now, what does it mean to get yourself to the class? It doesn't have something to do with either calling in like Susan, and I think Lupe may be on, and I know others are traveling, and we'll do what we can to include them.
Excuse me. This mic is hitting them.
Oh.
And as you
we're just making an adjustment to the microphone here.
We don't want them to hear the
bumping.
The bumping of sound.
Thank you.
I couldn't figure out what was wrong.
So where we are now is that individuals have been coming. And Molly, how many people are there tonight? We have a few people here, 18, 20 people, that have been coming for a couple of years now, Ivan. You know, a couple of years. So what happens when you do that? Well, when you put in the kind of effort that you've been putting in to come to this event, and then you come to it, you don't come as beginners to kill time. You come together to share excellent time together. And by excellent, I mean that we're rising above what our normal day-to-day mechanical behavior is, to take a time out. And then what I notice about individuals, they're not doing it for themselves just. They're really interested in the group. And the group now begins to form. And the group begins to form in such a way that there's almost a certainty that we will get to a certain level of invocation each time because of the accumulated work that individuals have been putting in, Ivan.
Okay.
There's an accumulation of something. We'll get into that at another point, but that has occurred. And it has occurred because of a discipline of effort. Lost Horizon, you'll notice, is not online. Is that correct? His computer might be, his character, but in person, he's here now. He's moved to California, and people are waving to you and saying hello. So, and he's joined us also as well. So in the same way, he comes forth, and he made a comment. He said, gosh, am I going to be sitting in Ivan's chair, or is Ivan going to be there? Because if I have to sit in the chair, it's going to be hard. What does that mean? Just sitting in a chair. See, Ivan can even Ivan can do it. Seems to work.
And it's a padded chair.
So what does he mean by that? And it's that effort at understanding is virtue itself. And we have to remember that. We put our attention to understand these things. So enough of a preamble. That was just a welcome back, and I also want to thank everybody that, and the kind thoughts that came through. As the chapter unfolds, I'll be sharing some things that I noticed distinctly during the surgical procedure, and particularly the 2 days after that, that were tangible sensations that I got from people that were assisting me, and other people that, even though they couldn't physically be there, they were there. And for me, they were the other healer in the room. We'll get into that in a little bit. But this is really about Chapter 9, isn't it? Is that the chapter we're on?
Chapter 9, that's what I understand.
Okay, so we're on Chapter 9, and why don't we get started. Now, first of all, I want to really suggest that everybody that has a chance go on to the website wingsofchaos.com, The Hidden Work, Chapter 9, and read the summary that Hawk Lady and Silverdale put together. It's a good read. And then Pianja came in and asked some very stirring questions that I think we'll be able to address tonight. So without further ado, if you'd like, Ivan, do you want to get us started then?
Okay. Activating the astral body. If the organic biological machine and its moving centrum manifestations can be made passive, higher substances can be driven upward by the resulting negative force, and the astral body can be automatically activated.
So, there you go. Pretty simple.
Yeah, right. I love that word, automatically.
And and it's true. That's the point, is that it's true. And I hope to be able to demonstrate that that's the case for each of us tonight. That's the door I want to open up to show that is, in fact, what has occurred to some extent for each of us now. So we're going to go through that part of it. Let's just get started then. Of what use is incense and all the other apparati to produce the necessary atmosphere for invocation if we have no will over the atmosphere produced by our machine's state. So first of all, I want to point out that this is a manual written by E.J. Gold, they call the Hidden Work. I am not aware, though I'm sure that others could help me with it, that there is our what I call work manual. This is like a car repair manual. Okay? But on the topic of invocation and the topic of, maybe I'll just say, the arousal of the essential self and the building of soul. And it's built on a great foundation of the concept that we are an electrical body, nay, that we are in fact two electrical bodies. We are an electrical body called the human biological machine, and ensconced in that, hidden in it, held hostage in a sense, is another electrical body called the essential self. So what he opens up with is he says that, you know, what use is it if we have no will over our machine states? A man who has real being is able to control his atmosphere. So what is a man who has real being? In Castaneda's work, that would be called a dreamer, someone who knows how to navigate in the so-called dream world. That's the world that opens up when we enter into and we walk into the world of the essential self. When you are there, it is that magical world. That is what he's talking about. He induces us in with poetic, similes, Castaneda, you know, where he draws these, and that's how magical it is on a day-to-day basis when you are in the essential self, and when you do it with another, a voyager together, that you're there. It is magical around. So. Ancient times, men who were real priests were even able to cure diseases just with this atmosphere. And of course that sounds correct. I can attest to some of that too. And the reason is because those individuals are able to emanate. They're emanating the electrical impulse of being in that essential self, and that emanation is curative. It helps the other who receives that emanation to change and to be enhanced with it. So it is this atmosphere which allows a priest to invoke and collect a negative force which can be served as an offering of energies to be used for the invocation of presences from higher dimensions, both celestial and fallen. So it is this atmosphere. That's the point. Now, notate right now the atmosphere that's here. Is Simon on?
Janet?
Yeah, but no Simon. He's traveling. He's in another hemisphere. Oh, good. The deer is here. Good. But in terms of, so, what is this atmosphere? This is that atmosphere. It's on us right now. That's what we have to become used to. Silverdale used to call it, or calls it, the particular vibratory sensation. All I'm saying is focus on that and let that become the familiar place into which you work. And the work you do to prepare yourself for this class, if that's something you're able to do, that work is the beginnings of that invocation. And then when we come together as group, we have something different. Exercises given for the awakening of the machine are only partially possible when we first begin, because in order to activate the exercises, special substances are necessary. We shouldn't be too put off by phrases like special substances and things like that. We can proceed without knowing everything about that. But when the essential self is more activated, and it's more activated when we work together in an essential way like this, it is more activated. There is alchemical substances which actually begin changing who we are. They begin changing the inner self. That's clear and distinct. But we don't need to know what it is in order to proceed. These substances must be borrowed until the awakening of the machine and the accompanying transformation is completed. So, you know, for instance, we worked with EJ for a number of years, Ivan, in the beginning, with a lot of strong, powerful invocations. People come here for various events, and I think that that's in fact what's occurring. But right now, we have, in a sense, we start to invoke the teacher. We talked about that a few chapters ago, I think it was in chapter 5, where we start to, it's not any one of us, but if it's all of us are big enough, we can hold some of that. We can hold that substance borrowed, and we borrow it from the group. We're borrowing the energy from the group tonight in order to awaken the machine even to a greater extent. The other thing that is an element to it is the necessity we have for this. As you enter into this space, you can see, gosh, this is where I'm meant to be. This is, God, this is what I am all about. I want to be here. We get together, you know, over cocktails with our friends, you know, in a party or something like that. We say, oh, yeah, it was a great event. Had a great time. This is that great time. It's happening right now. And so we want to discuss the ways and means to enhance that. And the header of this chapter is maybe one of the scariest beginnings of a chapter that we've ever had, because it is laid out so simply by the author here that we're compelled, in a sense, to follow this formula. Okay? Such substances are collected in great quantities by invocants, who are called teachers and given at real need, transmitted by the force of will, but completely subject to the actual work necessity of the recipient. So suddenly now the recipient becomes a part of this event. So the recipient's role is important. Like, for instance, right now, there are three other people in this room with me, and I know that there's a certain openness in a certain individual that's willing to receive this atmosphere. The willingness to receive the atmosphere is an enormous point. It gets more difficult as we go up the ladder, but this is partly what's called the descent of grace. And those of us who are willing to accept some of that descent of grace begins the fulfillment of the concept called, and on so it is on earth as it is in heaven. And we know this, right? Mm-hmm. As it is in, it will be on, what is the phrase from?
Yeah, as below, so above.
Also as above, so below. Yeah. We're calling forth this, but it has to have a receptacle, right? Are you that receptacle? Susan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Are you that receptacle?
Sometimes.
Yes, she is. She says, yes, sometimes.
Sometimes.
There's no question in my mind that that's the case. And I know, I don't know if Aria's here or not. Hawk Lady, Path World, Pianjo, these are individuals who I happen to know directly, who I know are willing to be recipients of that grace. from time to time. This is the great acquiescence. All right? Now, passive force, even in the form of negative emotion of non-activity, can be used as food for a new level of evolution. However, in the ordinary state of a human being, the astral body continues as a passive source of negative force, and all the special chemical substances produced by the organic biological chemical factory are pushed downward. Okay, so Harry, I'm not sure if this answers, but when the machine is involuntary, it's very active. It's active, it's, you know, it's moving around, mm-hmm. it's talking, it's spewing out, it's thinking, it's emoting. It can't help it. As long as it's involuntarily active in that way, it takes the substance that's created in the essential self and, in a sense, it pulls it downward further to something which in schools in ancient times was called the moon. It goes to feed the unconscious parasite within the machine. That's life. That's how life mostly is all the time. Sometimes people by accident break out of it. But most of the time, what this is describing is what's happened. Even if the organic biologic machine and its moving central manifestations can be made passive, but if it can be made passive. Now, there's a play in words here because if it can be made passive, then the higher substances are driven upward by the resulting negative force producing an active astral body. Do we have any questions? Eighth Angel is asking to higher and lower chakras. Right now, for the ease of this conversation, what we're talking about is like higher in terms of the essential self being enhanced versus the lower mechanical body remaining as it is. So as it is, the mechanicality of the body will continue. It will just continue doing what it does. And there are three centrums that we're talking about here. There's the moving centrum, the emotional centrum, and the mental centrum. Okay?
Yeah, another answer to that question would be this vocabulary or this diagram or map is saying pushing the substances upward in the sense of from a lower centrum to a higher centrum. So it's not like from 1 to 7 up the chakras. It's like there's a lower or mesmerized, say, mechanical, emotional centrum activity, and there's actually a higher emotional centrum, which is aligned with the essential self,
that
or with the astral body, let's say, here. And so it's in each of those cases. I think it's in this chapter he talks about sensations, thoughts, and feelings. So for each of those, it's possible to have them not be identified, not be only mechanical.
Correct. So, anything else?
Well, Pianjo added, this is my understanding, involuntary equals active, voluntary equals passive.
Yes. Oddly enough, what Pianjo is saying is true.
Mm-hmm.
Is by active, in a case like involuntary means that the machine is active doing its own thing. If the machine is involuntarily active, the essential self is passive. And as long as that occurs, that the flow of energetics is downward, feeding, for lack of a better word at the moment, feeding the moon, feeding the world. Okay?
Yeah, and then you say sort of like the finish of that is the waking state of the machine, bringing about the waking state of the machine is making it passive.
So when the machine, the will of the machine, as discussed in HBM, when the machine is awakened, it is passive with regards to its will. Its will no longer dominates. So therefore, it's passive. When it's passive, then the essential self can begin to look about and exercise something different. And it's only two things that it can exercise, and that's called attention and presence. Okay? Good question. Good and good answer, and thank you, Susie, for that. Okay. If one were able to send higher substances upward toward the astral body, by which is meant the internal astral body, by voluntary activation of centrums and parts of the centrums through technique of bringing them to life, by bringing the whole machine to life, then later it will be possible to, note, eventually direct prayer absolute, which is an even higher cosmic substance, upward into the higher spheres. So eventually you can do that. So this is why this chapter is so dangerous. It's saying, gosh, you mean I can eventually do that? Yeah, you can. What do I need to do? What's?
Practice, practice, practice.
Ah. So I've been saying you have to practice. Practice what? Pianjo? Organic man is ordinarily only a mechanical apparatus. For the downward transformation of substances descending to our cosmos from much higher cosmoses. This mechanical transformation occurs naturally just by allowing the lower organic centrums to remain involuntary, which is the inevitable automatic result of placing one centrum of gravity, mental, emotional, reflexive, outside of oneself. So we're going to expand on that. But as long as you're outside yourself, that the emphasis of your attention is outside yourself, then that's a hint to you that you are most likely in a passive way, where your attention is outside yourself. Not that you're observing the outside world, but it's where are you coming from? Where's the point of emphasis? And that's what's being discussed here. So that's important. Let's see. Okay. I'm going to come back to that outside oneself, but in about 5-10 minutes. And Susan, if there's somebody, if you want to interrupt, just interrupt, okay?
I have two comments.
Sure, go ahead.
One is from Mark Rhodes. He said in lots of yoga systems, they talk about the solar path versus the lunar path.
Okay. Yeah, that's part of what we're talking about here. We're interested in the solar path here.
And then a comment from Piandro.
Okay.
He said, Ida and Pignala, when the HDM is passive, we can then sense the pulse of the entire body, and then sensing pushes finer substances upwards.
Can you make sure that you hold the phone a little bit closer to you, please?
Yes.
And can you do that again?
When the HPM is passive, we can then sense the pulse of the entire body.
Yes.
And this sensing pushes finer substances upward.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Susan. Well done. So that's the heart of this part of the chapter. Have we ever seen this before? Have we ever talked about this particular thing? We've talked about it. This is the whole conversation we've been having for 2 years. What's different about it? The spiral, we're making the same rounds, but the spiral is taking us upward. So we're presented now with the same material, but on another level. You are on another level. That's the issue here. That's why this becomes so dynamic for what's before us. Okay? We are on another level. Suddenly we look at the same material and we're shocked. We say, gosh, did I ever even know this before? Yeah, you did. One can transform the biological machine into an apparatus for transformation of the being by awakening the machine and bringing the work of the lower centrums into the voluntary by reversing the cosmic apparatus for transmuting substances. We can become objectively useful in certain work. Now, listen, and our presence will sooner or later assume a corresponding being in direct proportion to our work obligation should we continue faithfully each day. Do you believe that you're in that position? Do you believe that you're in a position where we can become objectively useful in certain work, and our presence will sooner or later assume a corresponding being? Do you believe that about yourself, Path World? Can you think and see that? Can you accept that about yourself? Each individual that's on tonight, you individually, can you begin to hold that as a thought pattern for yourself? I'm not talking about visualization, because if you own that, it puts a burden of work on you. You're compelled to work in a certain way that you've never worked before.
Hawk Lady says yes.
Yes, she says.
As well as Path World.
Excellent.
Jim H. says, you betcha.
Yeah.
Adolphum says, yes.
Okay. I was speaking to somebody last night for like an hour and a half. I had to get off after that because I started to get tired. I think there's still some of the anesthetic is still in the system, even 2 weeks out. You know, but the individual happens to have some unique qualities. I mean, truly unique. I mean, it's not like, you know, I kind of like them and so I like their artwork. No, they really have unique qualities. And I've seen a lot of people, okay? I see a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people in this kind of work. And the person, every time they started to consider that they had something unique in them, they'd have pain and shut it down because they were trained by their parents that they weren't any good. I mean, well trained. The family unit did a really good job.
She means effective job.
I don't mean good in terms of virtuous.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean effective, like yeah. Ivan is helping me distinguish it.
Yeah.
They effectively convinced the person they were worthless. So anytime they began to feel this higher sense of themselves, they had a pain at this thing. It was like pushing a button. If I push the button right now on this phone, it would hang up. It just, that's what it does. Right?
Right. Sure.
That's what it does. So for her, that's what it does. And so I said, okay, let's try this. But take that and have compassion for it. Have compassion for that young person that was trained thusly. Don't change it, but don't run away from it either. Don't run away from it. Mm-hmm. Embrace the fact that pain is there. Because that pain is standing in the way of a vista for this individual, a great vista. So, can we embrace the fact that our essential self is ensconced in this human biological machine that is basically stuck, as Silverdale has told us so many times, in what's called the historical personality? We didn't create this. We're 1 year old, 2 years old, and we made the decision, gosh, I am going to follow my parents because I think they love me and they give me food and seems to be pretty good, you know.
Right.
I'm seem to be surviving, so I just need to accept the fact that what they're telling me is correct. And you go through that and you begin to accept that, and that becomes your historical personality, and it's all its complexities. Everyone is different. 6-7 billion people on the planet. Everyone is different and unique because everybody has a unique blend. But everybody has an essential self. And part of our job as workers is to free that essential self. I'm not talking New Agey here where, oh yeah, I'm just good, I'm a good person. You know, I'm not talking about affirmations. I'm talking about specific work. Sooner or later, okay, sooner or later. The next little paragraph I'm going to read, but we're just going to file it away for the moment. Even though the Absolute cannot be aware of our own individuality, we can make ourselves known to higher forces who can use us for work purposes. To choose our masters wisely is most essential. That's when we're at a different level, when we're able to, let's say, accept this responsibility of grace, of accepting it and opening ourselves to it. Very difficult to do. Very difficult. What are the substances produced by the chemical factory of the biological machine which would be available for our work if they were not wasted by our failure to use our negativity to feed self-invocation? Can we use these substances formed by the result of our work on ourselves to the formation of soul? And that's really part of our job, is to form a soul. All right. Now, the formation of soul, it's nothing, there's nothing, I don't want to be mystical about it in a certain way, but it is mystical, isn't it?
This point?
Yeah. Formation of soul.
Yeah, right. Technical. I mean, this chapter strikes me as very technical.
It's a very technical chapter. Soul, the formation of soul, and maybe another word to use it, and I'm not sure Silverdale probably wasn't able to join us tonight, but, you know, in a sense that is the same as the beginnings of permanence of the essential self, where the essential self is kind of starting to always work all the time. Always around. And then that's the beginnings of it. That's the little child of the essential self, of beginning to unfold there. And are there some comments, Susan, that
not too many.
Okay, go ahead. Ivan wants to speak.
Well, I'll make a brief comment. Just that's interesting that you picked that out, David. I think that this is the key idea of sort of spiritual work, of esoteric spiritual work, the distinction, you know, from sort of theology and ordinary religion. It's like, you know, there's this common parlance that you have a soul, everyone has a soul, you know, maybe plants have a soul, you know, maybe our dog has a soul, and birds have a soul, and so on, and you know, and we're made in the image of the Creator, and so on, and this is, you know, where the spiritual path, where the work comes from, is this specific idea that there isn't a soul, there's a potential to have a soul, and that it requires work, it requires persistence and will and actual practice, that you have to do something to develop this soul.
But doesn't it make sense?
It makes sense to us, but it's a very esoteric idea. It's actually very hidden. This is the hidden work right here.
But if we had chance to speak to our colleagues in other traditions, they would be able to see this too. And there's just, you know, whenever I have a chance, I'm going to quote Spinoza, because part of what I want to do is I want to show that this work that E.J. Gold is producing is part of a dialectic that is a conversation, a great conversation throughout the ages. This is one element of it. There's unique individual material coming out and being written here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a part of a dialectic of the great thinkers throughout history. And that I want to continue to show that. My background is in a few philosophers and also in the Christian mystics, so that's what I tend to bring out. When I show that this is the same dialogue that the Christian mystics had, exactly the same, the work that they had to do, they had the formulations and the dialogue of mostly the Catholic Church, because that was the...
Yeah, but you see what you said, it's the Christian, again, it's the Christian mystics, it's not St. Thomas Aquinas, it's not the Christian theologians,
it's,
you know,
the mystics,
and it's not the catechism.
That's the dogma
that
the church, after many, many years, developed, but it's the mystics broke out of that. Francis of Assisi, Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, Ruiz Broyac, these are geniuses of the mist of the spiritual path that mirrors what E.J. Gold was talking about in the hidden work here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
okay?
I think it's, and it's present.
And so let's focus one quick second on what Ivan said, is it's the soul, and you got to work for it. And as Spinoza said at the very end of the Ethics, he says, all things excellent are as difficult as they are rare. So look everywhere around you. All things excellent are difficult. I know, you know, let's say you want to own a Jaguar, or I don't know, what, let's say a high-end Lamborghini or something. That's an excellent vehicle, but it's very hard to get that. Very hard. And it takes a high degree of... So all things excellent are as difficult as they are rare is part of what this paragraph is talking about in the terms of development of the soul. What they are exactly, the substances, is not important just now. Not to waste them is what is important in our beginning work. One small thing we can do is to stop all unnecessary involuntary manifestations of the moving centrum. Okay, we're going to do this paragraph and the next paragraph, and that's our stopping point, unfortunately. Try this exercise. Relax all muscles. Okay, we've done this before. Focus now. Focus right now. And relax all muscles that are not necessary. Right now, to like hold your body erect, to speak if you're speaking, and at the same time, activate your inner attention, which is to say, that attention which you place from time to time upon the interior workings of the biological machine. This is called waking up the machine. Then bring the moving centrum as much as possible into the voluntary so that it can act as the source of negative force for the exercise. So bring the moving centrum into the active. So right now, just concentrate. Maybe you'll concentrate, like I've talked a lot about, concentrating on the social, on the facial mask. And just like a brush, like your attention is a brush. It's a fine brush. And you just notate the attention in a certain way, sweeping across your forehead as you relax that muscle. That one right there. As you notice the very top. And then at the edge of that same forehead, a little lower, left and right, you notice a little tension there. Go ahead, relax that for a moment. There you go. Good. Oh, now we come down to where the eyes are. And you'll notice all the activity that's going on. Relax that area. Just gently take this fine camel hair brush and of attention, move it across there until it's relaxed like that. Oh, and then we come to the cheek muscles and all the activity that goes on there. We don't need that right now, do we? We can relax that. Try this exercise every so often. Every so often that it appeals to you to do it. You could be sitting, you could be lying down, you could be driving in your car. So what do we mean by involuntary movements of the machine? Okay.
Please, yeah, it says there, it's a good suggestion to use manual labor.
Okay.
When performing, this is on page 80, next paragraph, when performing manual labor, to gain the will to awaken the machine, we should use only those muscles actually necessary to do the job. We must learn to relax other muscles, particularly the head brain. Fidgeting, especially mentally, is something we should eradicate from our behavior.
We're going to get to that in just a second, okay?
That's a good suggestion, yeah.
Because the involuntary muscles that come to bear in using the physical moving centrum are legion. Let's say you're there and Ivan, you asked me to hand you my glasses.
Hand me your glasses.
So I handed the glasses, but my face contorts with like a little slide. It's like, why are you bothering me?
Yeah, see, what's the mental fidget that goes along with that? Is that what you're saying? And the emotional fidget.
Okay, yeah. So why do I do that? Why do I need to do that? You know? Or you walk down the road and you're walking down the road and let's say you carry a certain posture that you have to carry. People just don't know how great you are. So you hold yourself so they can recognize the hidden royalty, even though you don't know it, but you're certain that somewhere in your family is royalty that just hasn't been acknowledged yet. Maybe a Romanian chain of your past. And they're always available, by the way.
Yeah, mine's Romanian.
See, there you go. Or these are involuntary. So you begin to place your attention on these movements. So you reach for something. Ivan asked me for the case, and instead of grimacing and as I hand it to him, I just, in a sense, I watched my hand do it, and I watch it in delight. There's a delight in watching the machine do things like this. You go, my goodness. At that point, the machine the will of the machine is pacified, but it is voluntarily. So move your hands now, Dan, to your arm. Place your arms now on the rest, but do it voluntarily. There you go. You know, and maybe it is time to cross your legs for circulation purposes. Notice the fact that you're doing it. Just notice it. It's so interesting. How the muscle, like that muscle and the high muscle of the leg starts to act, and it just, my goodness, it's just curious how that works. Or you just lift your hand and you go, my goodness. So when you start to voluntarize that area, now, there's equally as much chatter, is actually more, in the emotional and mental centrums that operate all the time. For instance, now, I'm going to say it for instance, but for next week, I think it's starting to become time for people to bring their four instances out. All right? And the reason is that we are forming group. Once group is formed, it becomes something useful to everybody that shows up. We're going to explore that a lot more in next class, and then a lot more in the fall, the third class on chapter 9. So I'm going to give a for instance for myself. I was just sitting in quiet. I'm not going to say I was in meditation or anything like that. I was just sitting in quiet. And I got to a certain level of quietude within. My physical was very passive and very quiet. The mental centrum was clear and distinct. There wasn't any chatter. There was no reactivity from the emotional centrum. I was just in presence, and I was enjoying my attention watching that. A little later, I noticed that I leaned forward and put my elbows, I was leaning forward onto my knees, but I was leaning all the way forward like this. My head was down, and I was in the midst of a chain of thought. The monkey brain just started. So that involuntary change of the physical posture at that time also activated the involuntary mental chatter that went along with it. Okay? I noticed that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Okay?
Right.
It happens all day long. You come to a stop sign, and, you know, that SOB across the way, don't they know it's their turn? Why aren't they going? And what's that? That's involuntary activity in your emotional and mental centrum, and it's mirrored in your body, and you can feel it. So what we're talking about now is on the level that we are now is starting to identify specific small arenas where this is occurring for you. All right. The more specific and small it is, the more we are able to get to it. Now I'm going to tell you a magical thing about it. Let's say you identify something, and you're a person that when you're in a meeting, or let's say you're on the phone with somebody, and you always pick up a pen, and you just kind of start clicking it, you know, which I think is by the way, anyway, you notice something like that, and suddenly you notice you're doing that. Like, that would be an example of capturing a small something. Now, here's the challenge. Don't change it.
What?
How are we supposed to get rid of that stuff?
Just observe it, huh?
That's the Catholic Church saying, that's a sin, stop doing it. Our job right now, because we have this beautiful tool called the attention, the inner attention of the essential self, just like you did to, you did relax the involuntary musculature, did you not?
Mm-hmm.
You're able to do that. How did you do it? How did that occur? You did it by the use of your essential attention on the biological machine, and it pacified it. And the more passive it is, the greater that attention can come forth. So all I'm saying is, when you notice what that habit is, don't change it. Watch the machine doing it. What do you notice about it? Keep watching it, and if it can stay around long enough, something will happen. The something has to do with, in a certain way, I call it the forces that it's a battle between the powers and principalities of heaven. And the powers and principalities of sleep are very powerful. And if one thing, and you can bring it to the group, if you bring one thing, then you avail yourself of the group attention. And you avail yourself of something that I was able to avail myself of in the healing center when I was in the hospital. I could feel the love and caring for the people that were around me. I could feel it. When people came to visit me, when people spent the night, almost all day, helping me, I could begin to feel that healing energy come in from people that weren't even there, that were specifically focused on me. My job, and I was in such a vulnerable physical state that I had the opportunity to observe this. My job was to open my heart and accept that healing energy, that love that was coming in. Didn't imply it's big capital. I was loved by these individuals. I was able to accept some of that. That helped my healing process. So, if we can get ourselves to a point where an individual can come forth and say, gosh, this is what I saw. Maybe it'll be a moving centrum thing. Maybe there'll be an emotional centrum thing, or a signature of your mental centrum. Let it be so such. Now, if you want, you can email it to me. We can discuss it, and I can bring it up as we unfold the next section of the group. Or we can play it by ear, how to do it. We don't know quite how to do this part of this yet, Ivan, how to work together as a group on behalf of each other. The one thing that happens when we do that is you become seen. I'm seen, okay? And I see many of you. But when we step forth, suddenly individually we're seen. Like, two things happen. One, that the machine, the mechanicality of the machine is put on notice that there's a new sheriff in town. All right, that's one thing. The second thing is that you aid the group by allowing the group to allow this compassion to come forth, and that's the beginning of the exercise of the higher emotional centrum. Okay? And as long as we stay in the essential self space that we are in now, then we can call forth the creativity, the great creativity of the mental centrum as well, and to help one another as we unfold through this. So we're going to, let's just call it a night there. We're a little over time, but you can see the depth of this chapter is just staggering. It's staggering. And it gets deeper as we go forward. So there's some brave souls out there willing to do some work as we go forward. But I want to thank you all for coming this evening. I'm so glad to be back. So glad to be working together again with my friends here and the friends online and everybody who's so kind with their comments back to me. So thanks for coming tonight, and we'll see you next week at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, David.